Well, sadly, children having their throats cut or shot at point-blank range isn't all that goes on in Syria, whoever is responsible. Sexual violence is an inevitable companion of civil war, and Syria is no exception. Lauren Wolfe is the director of the Women's Media Centre, Women Under Siege Project. They're trying to document the use of sexual violence in conflicts around the world. I asked her what stories she's hearing about sexualised violence in Syria, and most crucially, how reliable those reports can be.
Unfortunately, the reporting situation has been so difficult that the stories that are coming out are very difficult to verify. But we are hearing a number of stories that are showing us certain kinds of patterns that I've been able to confirm with various human rights organizations that they're also seeing. And that includes rape at checkpoints by police officers, pulling men out of cars, often entering the cars, raping women. Another kind of sexualized violence we've heard about in a number of cases is that the Syrian army tends to bomb a village. And then after that, the Shabiha, the plainclothes military, will then go in, loot the houses, and then rape the women. And so we hear about mass rapes in those cases. The third way is actually in detention. We hear about male detainees being raped, but in addition, we're hearing about a kind of torture where the men's wives are being brought in to be raped in front of them.
If you're ever going to do anything about this, you're going to need firm evidence. I can, of course, understand the difficulty of finding information. What are your sources? How sure can you be of this pattern that you describe?
We unfortunately can't be sure. We're doing everything we can to verify each report as it comes in. But it's less of a verification of truth than it is of the facts as they come to us. Because at this point, Syria truly is one of the black holes of journalism. So the reports we're getting are coming from refugees as told to doctors. Those doctors are often telling news outlets like the BBC, and that will come to us. But also, we're getting reports from activists via Twitter, via our website, womenundersiegesyria.crowdmap.com, or they can be emailed to us.
Tell us a little bit about the crowd map and what that actually reveals, how you put it together and what it reveals.
So far, we have about 40 incidents mapped, and a number of those are mass incidents. We hear of, say, 40 women being raped at once, a number of children who've been impregnated through rape. So those are the sorts of incidents we're hearing. On the map, we're measuring the perpetrators. We're looking at, was this the Syrian army? Was this the Free Syrian Army? Was this an unknown perpetrator? And we're actually looking at the different kinds of acts that are being perpetrated. And, you know, we're hearing about the kinds of effects that this takes on a woman.
There's also surely a need and a desire for some kind of closure, some kind of justice. I see this appalling statistic going back to the Bosnian War, an estimated 50,000 women raped, only about 30 convictions from that. Do you expect that things are going to be any different? Are we sadly just going to have to accept that the vast majority of victims of this sexualized violence are not going to see the perpetrators ever brought to justice?
Places like Bosnia have seen maybe 30 convictions. Places like Guatemala, where 100,000 women were estimated to have been raped. Rwanda, it's 200,000. The numbers are so staggering, and the amount of justice that's been served is just
But you see, Lauren, this kind of raises the question about what the significance of that visibility is, because we've just seen the most appalling visibility of nearly 50 children with their throat cut, but nothing is going to happen to the perpetrators in the near future. So is there any point in this visibility?
We may not be able to stop what has already happened, but if we can actually discover at this point where survivors may need some sort of help, if we can pinpoint there are refugees in a camp in Turkey who are living with the after effects of rape and perhaps need services for pregnancy or any kind of medical attention, we can then send those people to help them. So any kind of attention to the suffering of women, which is usually ignored in war, I see as a good thing.
Lauren Wolfe from the Women Under Siege Project, run by the Women's Media Center in New York.